Hello friends, Denny Pruto here. It's my plan in this short lesson to present to you the idea of the one-point sermon. Yes, you heard me correctly, the one-point sermon. The majority of those who teach preaching and teach homiletics set forth the proposition that every sermon ought to have one main point. In my book, So Pastor, What's Your Point?, I list several of these preachers and homileticians. Here is the short list in alphabetical order. Jay Adams, Andrew Blackwood, John Broadus, John Calvin, Stephen Lawson, Brian Chappell, R.L. Dabney, T. David Gordon, H. Grady Davis, J.H. Jowett, Hugh Litchfield, Martin Lloyd-Jones, Clarence McCartney, John MacArthur, Bruce Mawhinney, Donald G. Miller, Sidney Gradenis, Haddon Robinson, W.G.T. Shedd, Charles Simeon, John R.W. Stott, Joe Sprague and Douglas Stewart, and finally Calvin Trout. Each of these men sets forth the idea that every sermon, every message, ought to have one main idea, one central point. Let me relate to you what a couple of these men have to say. First of all, H. Grady Davis. Haddon Robinson attributes his thinking primarily to what Davis has to say in one of his little books. Listen to Davis. A well-prepared sermon is the embodiment, the development, the full statement of a significant thought. A good preacher is more likely than a mediocre one to state his point explicitly and clearly and to put it in a prominent position. When a sermon is the embodiment of one vigorous idea, when the whole of it becomes simply the elaboration and extension of that idea, then it produces in the listener that concentration of effect, which is called unity. The desire for unity is a law of the listener's mind. Yes, the desire for unity is a law of the listener's mind. Calvin Trout teaches that every listener in a congregation desires to distill the various facts and statements of a sermon down into one simple idea or one simple thought so he or she can go away with that thought or that idea. And if the listener desires to do this, it's incumbent upon the preacher to help the listener. And to help the listener means having a sermon which has one main thought, one central idea. A well-prepared sermon is the embodiment, the development, the full statement of a significant thought. In other words, the one main point of a sermon is like a seed. And when that seed germinates, a sermon emerges. And Davis says that the good preacher will arrange all of the points of his sermon around that one main point. A good preacher is more likely than a mediocre one to state his point explicitly and clearly and to put it in a prominent position. And so I teach my students to state their homiletical point in the introduction to each sermon. And they are to do so at the end of the introduction so that the member of the congregation, each member of the congregation, gets that point and knows what the sermon is going to be about. And then I teach my students to end the sermon with a statement of their sermon point or homiletical point. These are the prominent positions in the sermon, and the people will hear the point at the end of the introduction and at the end of the conclusion, and they'll get that point and be able to go away with it. Calvin Traup, who teaches speech at Duquesne University, calls the sermon point, or the main point of an oral presentation, the ring around the bathtub. That is, it's the residual message. It's what's left of the oral presentation or the sermon after everything is drained away. And the people in the congregation are left with that one central point. It's incumbent upon us as ministers to help those who are in the congregation remember what we say. And if they are seeking to put together all the statements of a sermon in one single point and distill the content of a sermon into one single point, we ought to help them do that by giving them that one single point. Listen to Haddon Robinson. A sermon should be a bullet, not buckshot. Ideally, each sermon is the explanation, interpretation, or application of a single dominant idea supported by other ideas, all drawn from one passage or several passages of Scripture. Students of public speaking and preaching have argued for centuries that effective communication demands a single theme. Rhetoricians hold to this so strongly that virtually every textbook devotes some space to a treatment of the principle. To ignore the principle that a central unifying idea must be at the heart of an effective sermon is to push aside what experts in both communication theory and preaching have to tell us. Did you catch that? Did you catch the last part of what Haddon Robinson has to say in this short paragraph? Let me read it to you again. To ignore the principle that a central unifying idea must be at the heart of an effective sermon is to push aside what experts in both communication theory and preaching have to tell us. Do you want to preach effective sermons? Then every sermon ought to be crafted around a single big idea, a single main point. To neglect this is to set aside what the majority of those who teach rhetoric, the majority of those who teach preaching, have to say. Finally, listen to W.G.T. Shedd. He must aim to pervade it, the sermon, with but one leading idea, to embody in it but one doctrine, and to make it teach but one lesson. The importance of this maxim may best be seen by considering the fact that sermons are more defective in unity of structure and a constant progress toward a single end than in any other respect. Yes, it's true. Sermons are defective in unity of structure and a constant progress toward a single end more than anything else. You need to catch the import of what Shedd has to say here, because unity is that which every sermon should achieve. And those in the congregation consider achieving unity the law of the mind. The law of the mind. They're looking for that point, what you're having to say. I learned this lesson several years ago, and when I came to Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, I began to teach this principle in my homiletics classes. And then one day, a lady from our congregation in Sterling, Kansas, was visiting with my wife here in Pittsburgh. And she said to my wife, "You know, whenever I listen to Denny preach, I would go away with a point, with an idea that I was able to work over in my mind during the week and to apply to various issues that arose in my life during the week." I thought to myself, bingo, I've struck pay dirt. If this is the case in the life of this woman, it certainly is the case in the lives of others in the congregation. And then I had this very interesting thing take place. I had the opportunity to speak at a Good Friday service on the south side of Pittsburgh. And I was given the assignment of speaking on the words of Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? The point I was making in this short presentation was that Jesus Christ uttered these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we who believe in him would never have to utter those words ourselves. We would never have to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Several months later, one of my students came to me after class, and he said, Professor Prudeau, you were on the South Side preaching at a Good Friday service. Yes, I said, that's true. The pastor of the church said to me, oh yes, you're from RPTS. Yes. He said, I remember you, the professor who came to preach here in the congregation, and I remember the message that he gave based on the words of Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he said, I remember the point that Pastor Prudeau was making, and the point was this, that when Christ uttered those words, he did so that we who believe in him would never have to utter those words ourselves. Praise be unto God. Yes, the single point being made in the message went home to the heart. And isn't that the purpose of our preaching? Yes, it is. If you are a minister of the Word of God, remember this principle with regard to your own preaching. Every sermon should have one main point. Thanks for listening.